May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Paul said something in Philippians that I think is really the worldview, the attitude, the disposition that every believer should carry. This seems so hollow. Does it sound weird? Can we turn it? If you turn it down just a touch, it'll transform it, I think. Thanks. Paul's in prison. He's house arrest in Rome. And as far as he knew, he faced death. Well, he was a pretty famous believer at this time, and even though they couldn't tweet, thank God Almighty, I've just discerned that all of our world woes go back to that tweeting. And that the saints were really concerned about this apostle, this father in the Lord. And so people were praying for him and for his deliverance, for he'd be set free. And he makes this statement, "For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance, my freedom through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Now notice what Paul said. Paul said his real priority wasn't getting out. His real priority was it rather in death or in life, that Christ would be exalted in him, that he wouldn't bring shame to Jesus. Now for most Western Christians, all we'd be thinking about is clinging to life. Get out of this situation. But that's not what Paul's attitude was. And in verse 21, here's the biblical worldview. "For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. For I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." What's an escapism? "Yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for you, and I'm convinced of this, that I shall remain, because there's more to be done. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In John chapter 13, verse 3, as Jesus is about to get on his hands and knees and wash their feet, it says, "And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God." One of the things about the West, the Western world, and about the prosperity of the Western world, it anesthetizes us to reality as believers. It's a great deceiver. We find ourselves clinging to life. Now, we are called to confront, to dispel all the destruction of the enemy, all the stuff that the enemy's brought in this fallen world. But the Lord said, through the writer of Hebrews, that if you are a slave to the fear of death, then you're a slave to everything. But only when you get free from that slavery are you free in everything. You see, Paul said what's really true. He said, "For me to live is Christ." Jesus said, "For if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus." We do reign in this life. We do live life and life more abundantly here. We do live even here, seated in the heavenly places in Christ. There is this thing that kind of lifts us up off the ground of all the stuff that's going on around, all the snakes and creatures and stuff going on around us in the spiritual realm. Lift us up because we're in Christ. Christ is in us. And so we know the joy of presence. We know the joy as people who are citizens of heaven that we're called to overcome in the name of Jesus everything that is the works of the devil. I mean, people who have a victorious mindset just kind of live with joy and peace. But Jesus also, he knew where he came from, but he also said he knew he was going back to God. And there's this thing about Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Now, that's not the old gospel song nonsense. Oh, life is so horrible here. We're going to one day cross the Jordan and escape all this misery and pain. Here's a person who said, I've known the foretaste of my inheritance. My inheritance is fully mine, but in this body I know in part. But one day I'm going to see, not in part, but in full. And so I experience by the presence of the Holy Spirit the reality of heaven. Jesus said that he wasn't of this world and his disciples weren't of this world. And he said, I know what it's like to know that foretaste and the wonders of that, but because I've had a slice, the whole thing is enchanting. And I carry that with me at all times. I'm not just seeing things from heaven. I'm always seeing things into heaven as a citizen of heaven. And I carry home with me. One of the things the Lord told me yesterday, says, Chuck, you have a round trip ticket. The moment you got born again, you came forth from God, sent by God with a mission in God. But no matter what this world offers or tries to take away, you've got home in your heart. And there's nothing the world can offer you that's better than that. And there's nothing that can take away from you, even your life, that can keep that from happening. You're going to arrive home, and you carry home in you already, but it's going to be the full thing. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And when Jesus looked at them and he says, I know what you're about to face. I know what you're about to go through. Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Over in John 17, it says, I give you my joy, that your joy might be full. You're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. So he's like going, I give you my joy. I give you my peace. You're going to know my presence because you're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you by the Holy Spirit. So you're going to know joy and peace in this world at war. He says, but I've told you that I'm going to go away and you seem so sad. But if you loved me, you'd rejoice that I'm going to go to my Father. Do you understand what Paul, what John, Peter, Jesus was saying there? I know where I'm headed. I know home. I carry that in me. There's no fear here. There's no, my heart's broken. I'm overcoming. But if you loved me, if I were to say to you, Lily, I'm going to go to Hawaii for a couple of weeks, you would go, I'm so sad. I'm going to miss you so much. I'm going to go, well, if you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks. You see what I'm saying? And what that does is being in Christ, having Christ in you, having that foretaste kind of lifts you above the earth. But when you're seeing into heaven, not just from heaven, when you carry home in your heart, man, suddenly you're living emotionally and mentally and spiritually as those seated in heavenly places, and it's not just a theological statement anymore. You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to fear. You can go into the craziest places and do the craziest things without any fear, because what can they take? Your ticket that puts you on the plane to home? Is that the worst they can do? So in this day, we're in red today because this is the Feast of St. Valentine's. St. Valentine's isn't a box of candy. He was a real person who carried the love of Jesus to people in extraordinary ways and moved in signs and wonders and miracles and was martyred because he carried and released the love of Jesus. And I'm sure, like all the martyrs throughout history, he was worshiping and singing because he could see home even clearer. So we wear red in honor of a martyr. Amen. Amen. Well, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.